D4, number 22A.
So now we come to the fourth vertical, to the science vertical. And therefore we come to that last part of the whole chart, where we were considering first the Word, and then the Christ, and then Christianity, and now to science. And when we come to science, the main point is that we feel that there is a great break taking place in consciousness. That the fourth level, the fourth vertical, therefore the fourth side of the Holy City, is something fundamentally different. Not just different, just as the Word is now different than the Christ different than the Christianity. Naturally, science is different than Christianity, but there is a greater break. Namely, it is a break which could be compared to that Word, Christ, Christianity on one side and science on the other side. It is as if the fourth side is summing up the three other sides. Word, Christ, Christianity, so that we must see what this great break in consciousness is, so that we don't drag on a consciousness from the Word and from the Christ and from Christianity into science, but really see the moment we touch the fourth side, we have to take on a completely new consciousness. And so I want first to spend some time to try to bring out this great break which takes place at this point. We have on our illustrative material first this picture which just shows what is taking place. We had the Word as that line going up, because it is the question, what is God? It is an upward trend of thought. The Christ is coming down. It's a message from God to man. When we come to Christianity, we get the whole realm of the Christ idea in manifestation, the whole space of it. But when we come to science, can you see that? When we come to science, I think we could symbolize it as that circle encircling the others. So for the first time, we get the consciousness which takes in all the preceding ones. Therefore, it must be something very much different. We could perhaps say that the Word, you see, was the self-declaration of being. It was declaring the nature of being, what I am. Being said, I am mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So it was the self-declaration. The Christ said, and I operate, I'm an operative modus, an operative office of that Word. I express that Word. That Word is not static, it's dynamic. So we get the dynamic sense in the Christ. That's the Christ idea. It operates and operates, but it doesn't operate just for nothing. So we come to Christianity, which says, and it operates for the purpose of complete fulfillment. And we had in Christianity a sense of fulfillment, that the outcome is perfect. What next could we have? We could say, well, can we go higher than that? Is that not the pinnacle of everything, that everything is fulfilled? It looks as if that should be the end of it. And perhaps we could hardly figure out that there should be a fourth aspect of it. And so we can see that that fourth aspect must be something very unique, namely it is that which says to the Word and to the Christ and to Christianity, I explain you. That's the science part. It looks back on it and says, all what you are, I give now an explanation to it. And therefore it is called science. Therefore we can call it the self-explanation of being, or the self-comprehension of being. Meaning, now this great point, meaning, you see, we come here to something terrific, if I am able to put it over today. But it's something terrific, which says, that which happened in the world, and in the Christ, and in Christianity, is not something that just happened in God. It's something which you can understand and therefore happens in your understanding. So that God and understanding is one. So that being and understanding is one. So that being and understanding have the same structure. That's the pinnacle of it. And that's what I want to explain for 3 hours. See? That then we can see, that takes away the rest of our religious sense, which just looks up to God Almighty and thinks, he's a jolly good fellow. He really is a big Lord. And he does wonderful things. But when you understand it, he's no more up there, it's in your understanding. And so, God or whatever it's called, is nothing else but our structure of understanding. So we can see that that science, the fourth side, is looking back on the first three sides, and therefore we have it in cybernetical terms. We have a closed loop, see, a closed circle, so that the science goes right back to the Word again and then to the Christ and to Christianity. And having understood that better, it goes right back again to the Word and to the Christ and to Christianity, so that you get that closed loop as a spiral which brings your understanding higher and higher and higher and higher. Those four are therefore not like on this chart, four that are linear. They are really circular. It's really round, but we naturally can't put it on the chart as a round thing. But now, spiritually, we have to see that now science is that which looks back on the Word and the Christ and Christianity and sees the reason of it, the explanation of it, understands it. That's why Mrs. Eddy calls this fourth cardinal point by saying, fourth, we have Christian science which today and forever interprets. What does it interpret? Interprets this great example, Christianity, and the great exemplar, which is the Christ, Jesus, the Christ, which has built on the divine principle, Word. So science looks back on those three and gives now an explanation of it instead of leaving it just as a statement, just leaving it as a wonder, just leaving it as a dogma, just leaving it as a philosophy or anything like that, but saying there is a science behind it. And because it is a science, you can understand it. But you can only understand it if you have a very different structure of consciousness. And only then can you understand it. And so this fourth side should introduce us really into that structure of consciousness. In another way, we can see the break that comes in this way. When we had the Word, we had the process of thinking. It was process. It was a process of climbing up the ladder of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. In the Christ was shown a process a process of translation of how God comes down, how the angels come down on that ladder from heaven to earth through the Christ order. Again, it was a process. Then we came to Christianity, and again we had the Christianity order. There already something began to be a bit different. Still, we still had a way, a process of how reflection is brought about in the fuller sense. Remember, spirit is the focal point, reflection is the focal point, and the question was, how big is the idea? How big is the reflection? What is necessary in order to have a pure reflection? And so through the Christianity order, the process of reflection was presented. And now we come to science. And in science, you don't have any more process. That's the break. All the three others were processes. The process of seeking, the process of finding, the process of using, or the process of the word, the approach to it, process of translation in the Christ, the process of reflection in Christianity. But when we come to science, no more process. So at that moment, something must happen within our consciousness where we must, so to say, undergo a great mutation, and consciously undergo a great mutation, or we will still be thinking in terms of process, still thinking in terms of cause and effect, which is process. What now is in the focus is being. Process becomes now being. Therefore, in consciousness, instead of having a consciousness which thinks along processes, we mutate into a consciousness which can only think in terms of being. Being has no process. Being is, and therefore is the isness, therefore has no cause and effect. And so completely new approach, so to say, to the whole subject of being is necessary. So at this point, we really make that big step where we come out of the classical reasoning. All of us are conditioned from the Greeks. If we have ever studied the Greeks or not studied the Greeks, it doesn't matter. Our whole education in school is conditioned by the thought and philosophy and reasoning of the classical Greeks. Reasoning from cause to effect. And it has worked very well up to a certain time in natural science. And so all our thinking is always, what is the cause? What is the cause? Where does it come from? And if something happens, you ask, where does it come from? If you are getting sick, you say, why do I get sick? What is the cause? You see, it's cause and effect. It's the law of causality. Not so in science. In science, we have completely different laws. We have the laws of isness. We leave the old classical reasoning and really come into the trans-classical logic, into the meta-logic, meta-language, which Mrs. Eddy had used. And because she has used another reasoning than the old classical reasoning, intelligent people will always find the textbook illogical. Always. That's why intelligent people who read the textbook and read them naturally with their educational sense of the Greek logic, they can never really find that the textbook is logical. So they say it's illogical. Because Mrs. Eddy didn't write the textbook wholly, only partly, wholly, on the old classical reasoning. She had what she called in the prose work the infinite logic. She speaks of the logic of Christian science. She doesn't speak of the logic of the old Greek classics. She has a new logic. And in the world, people begin to realize that there is more to logic than just that two-value logic, that there is a three-value logic, a four-value logic. And you will see, and if we have the chance to have that seminar this summer, we'll take some examples to show very plainly how in practical experience we really need another logic than the two-value logic if we really want to solve our problems rightly. So this is just indicating here that science brings a new logic, brings a new consciousness, the consciousness of being, but the consciousness of being which always takes in the whole. That's something else. Up to now, we could get along somehow halfway with an atomistic thinking, which taking step by steps, each step by itself. Here now, science brings us the view of the comprehensivist, where we always go out from the whole and never leave the whole. Even when we consider the parts, we always consider the parts as parts of the whole. And that's a completely new consciousness, something which has only come up in the world in large for the last 10 or 20 years. Bucky Fuller, for instance, he is the one, you see, who teaches always that comprehensive sense and that we have to be a comprehensivist and to go out from the whole. It's something which is rather new in the world. But when we begin to take on that structure of consciousness, we suddenly read the textbook differently. That's always the beautiful thing, that the textbook is always new the moment our consciousness has changed and mutated. Then we read in the same pages something bigger. Let me try to explain this break in another way, just to show what the break is when we come to science. Up to science, we ask questions. The world asks, what is God? The Christ asks the question, how does God translate itself to the point of individual idea? Christianity asks the question, how big is then this idea? But science really does no more ask questions. Science really is answer, is explanation. Science is that standpoint where we do not ask, but where we explain, where we give the answer, or even more, where there is no more question and answer, where there is just, because we are at the point of being, at the point of comprehensiveness, therefore of wholeness, then within that wholeness there is no question. How can you have a question if you have the consciousness of wholeness? And if you have no question, you don't need to give an answer. So science is a completely different standpoint of consciousness than what we had before. Science explains what is. Yes. So in this way, really, we can see that a great, could I say, metamorphosis takes place, a complete change takes place, where the Word, the Christ, and Christianity go through a metamorphosis and appear now suddenly as something else, namely as the science of the Word, the science of the Christ, the science of Christianity. Therefore, Word is something else than the science of the Word. Christ is something else than the science of the Christ. And Christianity is something else than the science of Christianity. And so this metamorphosis takes place, and we will see that very distinctly when we go through the science order, how this Word is, so to say, overformed into the science of the Word. how suddenly the word takes on a higher meaning as the signs of the word. And so with the Christ, so with Christianity. Yes, so with this in mind, let us perhaps go through the next illustration where we take, what is it, page 2. Yes. You have it in front of you, but it's nice to point it out here. So, let's see what it means. We could see science now is the self-explanation. I like to put that self in front of explanation because I didn't just want to say explanation, because the moment you have explanation or interpretation or you have a feeling, I have to explain it. Whereas if I put it as a self-explanation, it indicates that the principle of being has within itself the ability and the faculty to explain itself to itself, and explain itself to its idea, and explain itself to itself, explain itself to its idea, and explain itself to our understanding. So that is the self-explanation, the invariable dominant that goes right vertically through these levels, which therefore, you see the wonder of it. Up to now, where we had process, we were trying to explain things step by step. But now we come to the point where we begin to realize that if we open up our consciousness just to principle and what principle is, then principle begins to interpret itself to us, to each one of us, so that each one gets understanding from principle and not through our reasoning and through our thinking. This is the influx of the Holy Ghost, naturally, which takes place. Perhaps if I would write it today, perhaps instead of self-explanation, I may perhaps change it in a better term, in self-comprehension. In self-comprehension. But you know, perhaps you don't know how wonderful language you have. Because comprehension means two things. It means to include, and it means to understand. Doesn't it? The same word, you see? And can you see how this just wonderfully fits really into this thing that it takes over from Christianity, it takes over the all-inclusiveness, the comprehend, the includingness, and gives to that inclusiveness a comprehension, an understanding. Can you see? So perhaps for yourself you can also write there that science is that infinite self-comprehension of being. It includes all and it understands all. So that if you open consciousness wide enough and say, I don't need to understand it, but what I need is to widen out my consciousness as far and as wide as I can so that the Holy Ghost just can come in unto me and give me that knowledge, that understanding, that explanation, that expoundation which I really need for the very situation. So, if we understand that, we just can go really to divine science and see how this divine comprehension or self-explanation comes to us. Or how should our consciousness be built in order that this self-explanation comes in? In divine science, I begin to see that I have to do with the divine self-understanding. I called it the divine self-understanding meaning, that I have first to see that God knows himself. Before I ask, how can I know God? Before I ask, how can I know this or that truth? I really should enlarge my consciousness first to see that God knows himself. That this is the biggest understanding, the biggest knowledge, which we can see that there is a divine self-understanding. God understanding himself in one view, as one whole. And therefore, here we don't ask questions, we don't need to ask questions. It is that point where we can see that we cannot understand man out of ourselves, but that we would have to be bigger than man in order to understand man. Therefore, let's first see that God understands himself, and that out of that great reservoir of information can afterwards come the understanding of man or of idea. See, that divine self-understanding was a very important point in Mrs. Eddy's life, because she tells us in one of the reminiscences, is that the word, right word? See, that when she was writing the textbook, that she didn't know how to define God, and that suddenly one, that she didn't know how to define God, because she didn't see how God could know himself. And then she said, and then when she could see that God can understand himself and know himself, that then one synonymous term after the other would come to her. And if she couldn't go on anymore, she could just see that God knows himself. And that finally she got all the seven synonymous terms. So on this very basis in divine science, and it looks that Mrs. Eddy at the beginning always worked with divine science, especially writing the first textbook, she opened up her consciousness first to see there is a complete transparency in being, because God knows himself. And if we start with that, instead of asking how do I know this and that and the other, but start with the consciousness and realizing how wonderful it is, how the infinite knows itself as the infinite, then we are big enough in consciousness so that the truth can flow in. And that is the condition for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost cannot come to us. That development of eternal life, truth and love were the main synonymous terms for the word. You remember? The one word, the one life, the Christ, the one truth, Christianity, the one love. Those that develops in our consciousness as understanding only on that basis that we see that God knows himself. Then we go out from knowing. But if we go out that we say to ourselves, I don't know God and I want to know him, we have started on the wrong basis. We have started on a negative tone. So we have to start with a positive tone. And the biggest positive tone is that God knows himself. And so just take the time, just take the joy and the satisfaction just to sit down and think how wonderful it is that the infinite is conscious of itself and knows itself and explains itself and interprets itself completely as what the infinite himself is. And that's much bigger than knowing the little details. The rule of thumb is never take the smaller if you can take the bigger. You might think I am a great egotist, taking more than what isn't. I like it. I don't see why I should take a smaller thing if I can get a bigger thing. So start with the biggest concept and consciousness.